So we will begin our session of offerings for this evening. First of all, I would like to invite His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu to come and make his offerings. And as Mahaprabhu Prabhu is making his offering, I would like to request His Grace Sahadev Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Can you speak in Hindi? I can speak in Hindi. Or English, what you want? Because most crowd is, aaj Hindi jo hai na, Nandostav ka bhi crowd hai aaj. You must understand. That's why you don't find many counselors here. No, whatever you will say. Okay. Now, final order, English. So, we are celebrating today Srila Prabhupada appearance day. One of the most important thing Srila Prabhupada has given us, access to Krishna very easily. On the basis of Shastra, the literature Srila Prabhupada has written and given to us is unique in the history of Sanatana Dharma. By reading that literature, actually we don't need any explanation. We have been fooled up till now by so much books or Shastra available. You go anywhere, you will find that people who are worshipping Devtas. In anybody's home you go there, Devta, demigods. Srila Prabhupada has given us Krishna. Very simple. You have not to become great scholar. Merely chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krishna will reveal everything to you. It is so simple. And we have seen the result of it. Srila Prabhupada, you tried here 40 years practically to give the message of Sanatana Dharma and prepare a team so that you can go. To the English speaking world. As per the instruction given to you. By your Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. You thought. That you will make a team here in India. And that team, then you will go by that team and spread the message. But in India, 40 years, not a single person was interested. One person in Jhansi, but still he has not given up drinking tea. And you see, when Srila Prabhupada has gone from here to America, whom he was preaching? They were hippies. Dam maro dam mit jai gam. You know those hippies. We were famous at that time by this film. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. hand, but the potency of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Just like Balmik, he was Ratnakar, his name was Ratnakar, and he was, you know, he was practically dacoit. But Narad Muni's association, he started chanting name Ram, but he was not able to chant Ram. So Mara, 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 and then Ram. And he has written Balmik Ramayana. So don't consider these hippies. Because in the beginning people thought it like that only. Oh, they are hippies. By the mercies of those hippies, we have got 500 centers around the world. Like by the mercy of Balmik, we got Balmik Ramayana. So, what Srila Prabhupada was giving to these people, what he was teaching, chant Hare Krishna. It's so simple. People are thinking, oh, you know, we have to become a scholar. And then only we will understand the Sanatan Dharma, Bhagavad Gita, Vedic literature. Srila Prabhupada said, if Gyan and Vigyan, Vidya evam Abidya. Vidya means education, Gyan, in which God, Krishna is there. Then it is Vidya. So simple. That is the conclusion of total Isha Upanishad. So people thought Isha Upanishad is such a difficult thing. How we will understand? So Prabhupada, you made Srila Isha Upanishad so simple that if anybody is reaching to the conclusion that Krishna, Ishwara, Param Krishna, Satchitananda, Bhagra, Nadir, Adir, Govinda, Sarva Kare Karnam, Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. That's the conclusion of all the Vedic literature. And Isha Upanishad is faithful. Srila Prabhupada, you have given wonderful thing. That whatever we are learning in these slaughterhouses, educational institutions throughout the world, if they are not giving the message of Krishna, then whatever education they are giving us, whether IIT or MIT of America, they are all useless. They will create big criminals. You see that in the world, the history of the world. Big scam throughout the world is not done by uneducated people. These are the all big educated people throughout the world. And they made big schemes. Srila Prabhupada, you have given very simple education in the form of explanation of Isha Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita, people thought it's so difficult, we cannot understand it. You have given Bhagavad Gita in such a simple form, which is the gist of total Sanatana Dharma. By chanting Hare Krishna, A, B, C, D. Radha Gopinath Prabhu always in his classes, chant A means you should get association. That's the conclusion of Gita. 18th chapter, 68 and 69 verse. O Arjuna, anybody who is talking about me to other devotees, that person is very dear to me. That's the conclusion of Stephen Covey's book, Seven Important Habits. There also he said the same thing, that you must get association. There is no difference if you go in one sense, this materialistic person, the biggest bestseller in the world, Stephen Covey. But Srila Prabhupada has given us Bhagavad Gita, and see the conclusion. A means association. B means you should read book. Srila Prabhupada book. Not any other book. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada said, milk touched by a serpent causes a poisonous effect. If you will read other literature, which is not coming in parampara, you will not understand. Even if you hear kathas of big mahatma, sadhu, pandas, and who is collecting big money, and doing satsang, and bhagavatam saptah, throughout life you may go there, you will never become devotee of Lord. So read book written by a devotee like Srila Prabhupada. So association, do second thing, read book written in parampara. Third, see chanting. Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the conclusion of all the religions of the world. So simple. People thought it's such a... But you read Bhagavad Gita, Quran, Bible, Granth Sahib, Bhagavatam, Bharanarat Puran, Bhagavad Gita, all the literature, all the religious books of world, there it is stated, only chanting the holy name of Lord. We may call it Krishna, somebody just, I may say, get me a glass of water, somebody will say, Pani, water, somebody say, Hindi, Jal. So, if Srila Prabhupada taught throughout the world that chanting is the most important thing in our life. So, she is chanting. This is all the religion of the world has said. And lastly, Srila Prabhupada, you have given so simple. What is the use? I worship Bhagavad Gita. I worship Krishna. I come to temple. But if I am not ready and willing to follow even one instruction of Lord, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yagya Sishtajan Sanotanto, Muchanti Sukleste, Bhujyantito, Atam Agam Papam Jo Pachanta Atmkaran. If we cannot offer, even follow one instruction of Lord, what's the use? We call ourselves, I'm Hindu. If somebody is hitting Bhagavad Gita, burning Bhagavad Gita, I'll give my life. But what a hypocrite. Hindi mein isko pakhandi bolte hain. We are not ready and willing to follow even one slok of Gita in our life. Srila Prabhupada, you have given us so simple that if we can apply these four principles in our life, which in Stephen Covey in his book indirectly said, 15 minutes time you take out for a spiritual life. Spiritual life means not going to temple or going to Tirth Yatra. Spiritual life means chanting the holy name of Lord. Association means not going in a club. Association means that Stephen Covey said. Like that, association, Krishna says, association of devotee. And like that, if we can follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction, we will get the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, what is the use of all Gyan? Gyan, Krishna says, Dukh and Sukh, pain and pleasure will come in your life. I have heard Bhagavad Gita several times, 100 times. But pain comes, I am very much disturbed. When pleasure comes, I am very happy. Just accept it that when pleasure is coming, pain is going to come. You should develop the power to tolerate the pleasure as well as pain. So simple, Srila Prabhupada said. And once, if we chant the holy name Lord, follow four principles which Srila Prabhupada has given, Krishna will protect us. He promised in Bhagavad Gita, Kunte pratijani na mai bhakta pranashyati. Arjun declared to the world, I will take care of my devotee. So if we are following, doing our work, taking care of our family, and following the bhakti's method, Srila Prabhupada has given these four siddhanta, if we follow that, Krishna is going to help us. Even at the time of death, when we are unconscious, if we have led our life properly, Krishna will take care of us. And that is the purpose of our life. Srila Prabhupada has made it so simple, and it's our duty that we should follow it. It's not only just hearing every time, but not applying in life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Mahaprabhu Prabhu. As Sahadeva Prabhu is making his offering, we would like to request Prishabhanu Prabhu to kindly come and be ready.
So, on this auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, I would like to discuss a Bengali poem written by Srila Prabhupada. I think this is the topic every time discussed on the Aspuja day. But it is so inspiring that I thought that I should repeat it again. He has written poem, Mark in Bhagavat Dharma, Teaching Krishna Consciousness in America. And I would like to briefly discuss the important aspects of this poem, which actually constitute Srila Prabhupada's instructions and guidance to the devotees. So in this poem, Srila Prabhupada is actually disclosing his heart to Krishna. And it was a personal interaction of Srila Prabhupada with Krishna in this poem. And each line, each word manifests Srila Prabhupada's desire to fulfill the will of Krishna by bringing suffering souls in this material world to his lotus feet and engaging them in his devotional service. I am actually unqualified with this, my tiny brain and little knowledge, to fathom the glories and greatness of Srila Prabhupada, but whatever little understanding and realizations I have got, I will like to put before you. The qualities of a pure devotee manifest in his thoughts, words and actions can be seen from this poem. The first quality which shines or manifests is that in the Vaishnava history we have seen that the more a person is advanced in spirituality, the more he thinks himself to be lowly and insignificant. And therefore, Prabhupada in this poem uses the words like, for himself, like, I am a useless soul, unfortunate, unqualified, most fallen. So Prabhupada taking such a humble position, such humble humility attracts the heart and attention of Krishna and makes one qualified to receive his mercy. The second quality which manifests from this poem is the Prabhupada's total dependence on Krishna and Krishna's will. Sri Prabhupada is pleading that being unqualified, Prabhupada is telling here, showing his dependence on Krishna and is pleading with Krishna that being unqualified, he will not be able to convince the people of America who are in modes of passion and ignorance and covered by illusionary raja of Krishna. Therefore, he is pleading that if Krishna you want, you can remove that curtain of illusion energy and bring them out of the clutches of Maya. The third quality which is manifest is that it is the prayers for the causeless mercy of Krishna, which make everything possible. Seeking benediction from Krishna to give him suitable speaking power to convince those people. So the third aspect is that we should always be praying for the causeless mercy of Krishna to make everything possible, because as we are totally unqualified to do anything on our own. We always need Krishna's mercy to do anything positive, anything worthwhile. And the fourth quality which manifests is that a devotee has no separate desire than the desire of Krishna. In fact, he always acts according to his will to fulfill his desire. Therefore, when Krishna advents, one of the purposes of Krishna's advent is that he performs such extraordinary and inconceivable activities just to attract the heart of the people and to reclaim them, to take back home, back to Godhead and engage them in his devotional service. This is Krishna's desire. And the same desire is the desire of the devotees. How he can assist Krishna to fulfill his desire. So this is his desire, devotee's desire is non-different than the desire of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada says in that poem, I wish that you may deliver them. If you desire their deliverance, they will be able to understand your message. So this is how Prabhupada is pleading to Krishna. And the fifth quality which manifests is that Sri Prabhupada simply wanted to become Krishna's puppet, an instrument in Krishna's hand to accomplish his purpose through him, whatever Krishna desires. So Prabhupada says in that poem, so if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. Oh Lord, make me dance. Nachao, nachao. So deep love for Krishna always manifests in loving compassion for all the living entities. And the sixth quality which manifests is that Prabhupada says that I have no knowledge, I have no devotion, but I have a strong faith in the holy name. And therefore he says, praise to the Lord that my name has been given as Bhakti Vedanta, but if you like, you can fulfill the purpose of the Bhakti Vedanta. So in this way we see that how this quality manifests in a pure devotee. And actually these are the things to be followed by every devotee. These are actually the instructions and the guidance in this poem which Prabhupada has given for every devotee. Because Krishna is Bhavgrahi and he could see, this is from what I understand, that when a person as pure devotee is fully surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna empowers him to do whatever he likes to achieve through him. And since it was desire to deliver those persons in America, therefore Krishna empowered him to do that. Actually, there is no parallel in human history where a person has achieved so much in such a little time. So it is the total surrender, the motivation, the aspiration of Prabhupada, which made Krishna empower him to do such a wonderful thing. And as Mahaprabhu said that, by his grace, by receiving the grace of his Guru Maharaj, the Parampara and Krishna, he could achieve such big things. So this is a great lesson for all of us to follow. And as it is said in Bhagavad Gita, yatha mam prapadante, so the degree we surrender to Krishna, the Krishna will empower us to achieve that particular, whatever we want to do. And here we see that Prabhupada's total surrender made him so empowered that he could do such things. So being unqualified, I pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada to give me strength and courage and intelligence to follow instructions and so that I may be able to serve him in the mission of Jeev Daya. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur in one of the songs says that Jeev Daya Naam Ruchi Sarv Dharm Sar. Actually from this poem we see Prabhupada says that I have strong faith in the holy name, and at the same time he is pleading to deliver the suffering souls, Jeev Daya. So this is the essence of all religion, and I pray at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet to give me intelligence and strength to follow in his path and give him some service, give me some strength to engage and in the movement which he has so wonderfully established. And maybe I become a small, insignificant instrument of his will. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Sahadev Prabhu. We now request His Grace Vishwabhanu Prabhu to come forth and make his offering.
Our country is celebrating today Teachers' Day. How glorious it is that today we are glorifying Jagatguru, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, you have given us this beautiful, sublime Krishna consciousness movement. And this movement is not just about giving us some regulative principles, do's and don'ts, but it is all about love, brotherhood amongst all the devotees. And this wonderful feeling of love and these sublime emotions, these seem to have percolated through all the centers, through all the temples, wherever ISKCON centers are there, wherever ISKCON temples are there, we find this wonderful feeling of love and amity amongst the devotees. I would like to cite a very recent experience. We were in Coorg for just a two-day vacation, and we were feeling lost because we were away from the Sunday program. And as we were passing through a place called Madikeri, we happened to see a banner of Janmashtami celebrations in an ISKCON temple in Coorg. We were thrilled. We did not know what to expect, but nevertheless we undertook a trip to this particular center. And when we went there, we were received by a brahmachari devotee. And the joy on his face when we entered the temple was something to be experienced. We were really overwhelmed by the way in which he received us. And we were feeling embarrassed that we had just gone in. But he said, come in. You are Prabhupada's guests. You are Jagannath's guests. With such intensity and with such love did he welcome us that we really felt very, very happy. We felt that Srila Prabhupada was there and his love for humanity was reflected to this particular devotee. So I asked him for his name and then he said, I am Raghunandan Das. And then I asked him who his spiritual master is. He said it is His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So we glorified Bhakti Charu Maharaj and he glorified my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He said that I have been constantly hearing his tapes. So one can see therefore that this feeling of love and this feeling of brotherhood, it simply percolates, and this is a gift to humanity which has been given by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, we can never thank you sufficiently for all that you have given us. And we are indeed very, very grateful to you. And I simply hope and pray that I can serve my spiritual master and try to reflect the principles which you wanted to give to all of us in my behavior. Hare Krishna.
The Prabhupada ki jai. We have amongst all of us here today the auspicious presence of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Let us all welcome him to our temple very loudly by chanting Hari Vau! Hari Vau! Hari Vau! I would like to now request His Grace Srinath Ji Prabhu to kindly come and make his offering. Meanwhile, Radha Krishna Prabhu, kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. A few days ago, Giriraj Swami made his offering to Srila Prabhupada, to you, and I daily receive from Giriraj Maharaj a lecture of his on the internet. It's due to the mercy of his disciples. And I was so moved and touched by this wonderful offering he made that, with your permission, Maharaj, both of you, may I read this out? So, the shlok he has taken was the famous shlok of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bakiyam stanakal kutam jigam sayaya yapyasyad vyatvi lebe gatim dhatra chitam tatonyam kam vadayalum sharanam vrajima. And he comes to the heart of the matter by saying, ultimately, it comes to faith, Shraddha, because my godbrother just mentioned Prabhupada's own poem, the point number 6 was on faith, Shraddha. Ultimately, it comes to faith, Shraddha, upon which all progress depends. In Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela 22.62, it is said that Shraddha is confident, firm faith. Shraddha is confident, firm faith. That by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. Even in your presence, Giriraj Maharaj is talking to Prabhupada, even in your presence, devotees did not always understand you. Means when Prabhupada was personally there, still devotees sometimes didn't understand you. Most of the people who joined were too young, in their late teens or early 20s, and it was years before any of them left his or her body. The first I recall was Jai Gopal Das, who lost his life in an automobile accident. His young wife was distraught, and you assured her that Jai Gopal has gone back home, back to Godhead, and that she will soon join him. One of my godbrothers commented that you had said that just to encourage her. Then I came across a book called His Divine Grace by Dhanavir Goswami. Looking through it, I saw a photo of Jai Gopal with the caption, Srila Prabhupada stated that Jai Gopal was not ready to go home back to Godhead, but that Krishna made an exception and took him back. That is causeless mercy, your mercy. Krishna has no interest in anything of the material world. He is only interested in devotees. Prabhupada says, Krishna has no interest in this material world. He has only interest in devotees. And it is only because of the mercy of a devotee that Krishna takes interest in someone. It is only because of the mercy of a devotee that Krishna takes interest in someone who is not yet truly a devotee. Means we are not truly yet devotee, but Krishna takes interest in us because Prabhupada takes interest in us. Otherwise, who is Jai Gopal Das or any of us to Krishna? It is because of our connection with you, Srila Prabhupada, that we have any standing in Krishna's eyes. In Krishna's eyes, we are nothing compared to anybody. But because of Prabhupada's connection, Krishna takes attention and pays attention to us. Of course, as you always told us, Krishna is a super soul. He is in the heart of every living entity as a witness and overseer. Means Krishna was only seeing and overseeing, but he didn't take interest like those two birds in a tree, where one bird is enjoying fruit, sometimes bitter, sometimes sweet. And Krishna, as Paramatma, is watching, that's all. But when he takes interest, it's a next step forward. He is normally neutral, Prabhupada says. He lets them to act and fulfill their desires. He doesn't interfere. However, when a devotee intervenes, Krishna takes special interest. One has received a devotee's mercy. One who has received the devotee's mercy gets Krishna's mercy. Means if you get a devotee's mercy, it includes Krishna's mercy. And that is true for all of us, your followers now. Otherwise, why should we be engaged in devotional service? We are engaged in devotional service because we are getting devotional service mercy in return. That is what Giriraj Maharaj says. Why should we even be in your temple? We are here by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, that we are in this temple. And thus, we are making the effort to purify our hearts, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, and trying to become true devotees. There is one more example. There are many pages, but I'll just take 5 minutes more. Satsurup Das Goswami told me a nice story, a thought or realization that he had had. It relates to your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, and leads to the conclusion, Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Vrajane. How shall I take shelter of one more merciful? In other words, you are so merciful, how can I find anyone else more merciful? How can I take shelter of anyone else? Sometimes it happens that your followers meet saintly persons outside of ISKCON. Now this is very important. Sometimes it happens that your followers, means Prabhupada's followers or his followers' followers, meet someone outside ISKCON. One year, Satsurup Maharaj, now Satsurup Maharaj is telling Giriraj Swami, one year Satsurup Maharaj went to Jagannath Puri during holy month of Purushottam and spent some time with one such sadhu. But while there, Satsurup Maharaj felt uncomfortable. He didn't feel at home in that association. He felt that you created ISKCON to be his home and that he could feel at home only in ISKCON, nowhere else. That means we are only at home here in ISKCON. We are not comfortable when we go elsewhere. That I have experienced many, many times. Even in Vaishnav, we are having Vaishnav etiquette and so on. But we feel most at home here only. Then he went a step further. He imagined a time when he would leave his body. Because we are all going to leave our body sometime sooner or later. So Satsarup Maharaj imagined that he is now leaving his body. And he comes to the precincts of Krishna Lok, means the boundary, entry level. And the gatekeeper would ask him, "Who are you?" He suddenly became fearful. Satsurup Maharaj became fearful, thinking that he was taking a gamble by turning himself into a Shiksha disciple of the sadhu, of that other sadhu, non-ISKCON at Jagannath Puri. He wasn't sure exactly what his relationship was with the sadhu, or what that sadhu might say to Krishna on his behalf. Then he imagined a different sequence. In this one, when the gatekeeper asked, "Who are you?" he would reply, "I am Satsarup Das, disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." He imagined that the gatekeeper going to you and asking, that means to Krishna, "Satsarup has come to the gate, what should we do?" And Krishna would say, "Ask Prabhupada." And Prabhupada would say, "Satsarup, my Satsarup, call him immediately." To me, this provides a striking picture of you and your mercy. And it serves to answer the rhetoric question, "How shall I take shelter of one who is more merciful than he?" For us, there is no one more merciful, Srila Prabhupada, than you. There is no need to take shelter of anyone else. And there will be no gain if we leave you or try to take shelter of anyone else. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Srinathji Prabhu. Radha Krishna Prabhu, please now make your offering. And meanwhile, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu can be ready.
Srila Prabhupada, yesterday we were invited to a symposium on child health in Delhi. At the end of the symposium, there was an awards ceremony. And ISKCON Food Relief Foundation was given the National Child Health Award for the year 2009 in the field of nutrition. On your behalf, Srila Prabhupada, we accepted that, and I now request Srinathji Prabhu to please offer it to Srila Prabhu.
It says here, pay ISKCON Food Relief Foundation or bearer for exemplary work in promoting nutrition, ₹21,000 only. It's not the quantity of money, but it's the size of this statement. And signed by Mr. Sudhanshu Watts, Vice President, Home Care and Skin Cleansing, Hindustan Liver Limited. So here it is written, Life Boy. We know that Srila Prabhupada is a real life boy. Are, boys are sir.
Pad ki jai. May we now request His Grace Gaurang Prabhu to kindly make his offering, and meanwhile, we request Shamanand Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. It's a great fortune that we have His Holiness Bhaktacharu Maharaj and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, two very dear sons of Srila Prabhupada here in our midst. So, Dr. Patel once asked Srila Prabhupada that why you are criticizing so many saints so much. And he told Prabhupada that I have been taught to respect all accredited saints of India. And Prabhupada immediately replied that I have been taught to figure out who is a saint and who is not. So Srila Prabhupada has given us such wonderful teachings in the form of his books. We are so fortunate to have such clear direction within this ISKCON society. Dinbandhu Prabhu was once mentioning a pastime. Srila Prabhupada was speaking at a temple and he said very emphatically, if you just chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles and follow the teachings which I have given, then just by doing this, you will go back home, back to Godhead. He paused and then he turned and looked at all the devotees who were sitting and he said, I guarantee it. And then he turned around again and he said again once more, I guarantee it. So Srila Prabhupada is offering such a wonderful mercy in this deep dark hell of Kali Yuga, which cannot be imagined. One time one devotee in New York asked Srila Prabhupada that if this movement is so good for all of us, why did it come so late? Prabhupada said, the movement did not come late, you came late. And then there were many devotees who were sitting around and they started laughing. And Prabhupada turned to them and said, you came late too. So as they say, better late than never. But somehow by Krishna's grace, we have this wonderful association. And we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada for providing us this wonderful association where we can really take shelter of Krishna and his devotees. One devotee told Srila Prabhupada, in my practice of Krishna consciousness, I face so many obstacles. And Prabhupada said, with the kick of my foot, I can remove all obstacles. One time in Juhu, it was 7 o'clock in the evening, and Prabhupada was sitting with Haridas Prabhu, and Prabhupada told him that, do you hear? And he said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I don't hear. Prabhupada said, that's exactly the point, that I don't hear the aarti. Why there is no aarti? Why they are not singing kirtan? And he said, Prabhupada, devotees have gone out for probably making members, and so they are not yet back. So Prabhupada said, in our fight with Mr. N, which was such a very difficult fight, we find that Mr. N had money, he had power, he had influence, but still we were victorious. Why? Because we depended on Krishna. So therefore, I want that we should perform service depending on Krishna, and part of that is we should always be strict and regulated in our aartis and our kirtans and our sadhana. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful morning and evening programs and opportunity to serve all through the day. One time, Giriraj Maharaj tells the story, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what is your mission? And Prabhupada said, our mission is to teach that God lives and we can live with God. And then Prabhupada asked one disciple, why do you think people follow us? And this devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, probably because, you know, we have such wonderful temples. Prabhupada said, they are just buildings. Then he said, Prabhupada, because of your books. Prabhupada said, there are so many books. People don't really get time to read all those books. And then Prabhupada said, people follow us because we set a wonderful example. And when devotees set a good example, others feel inspired to follow in their footsteps and change their lives accordingly. One devotee revealed to Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, I am really relishing the spiritual atmosphere in Mayapur. Prabhupada said, go out and make the whole world Mayapur. One time, one devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said that this was in Vrindavan, and he said to Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I want to go and stay in Radhakund and do bhajan in a bhajan kutir. And Prabhupada said, there are enough monkeys in Radhakund already. And Giriraj Maharaj tells the story that Srila Prabhupada was very much concerned that devotees go through the stages of devotional service gradually and become purified. And he said, whatever you need for progress in Krishna consciousness is here in this movement, is there in my books. One time one gentleman asked Srila Prabhupada, why India, which is a land of so many Mahatmas, has so many problems? Prabhupada said, because we do not understand who is real Mahatma and who is not. Another time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how can a disciple be sincere? And Prabhupada gave a very fantastic answer. How to be sincere? Prabhupada said, if the disciple follows all the instructions of the spiritual master, big and small, that is a symptom of sincerity. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada, as a disciple, followed all the instructions of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and he was totally committed to make his life and soul his mission, the fulfillment of the desires of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of Vedic culture? And Prabhupada said, Vedic culture means open door, open window and open mind. And he said that, you know, it is based on hospitality, it is based on friendship, and it is based on really extending oneself to serve others. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada has given us such wonderful gifts that on this day, we can only pray at his lotus feet that he gives us the strength and the power to follow his teachings and try to serve his wonderful devotees and be some insignificant service in this most glorious preaching mission. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Gaurang. Now we would like to request His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu to come forward and make his offering.
We glorify Srila Prabhupada in his pranam mantra as Saraswate Deve, which generally is understood to be the disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, which means that Prabhupada relishes, acknowledges and is proud of being accepted as a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Today I thought to glorify Srila Prabhupada by utilizing something which I have learned from his great disciples. Of course, this is like a vast ocean, and somehow due to my feeble strength, I could just not dive deep, but whatever I could just gather two pearls. One is this contribution by Gaur Govind Maharaj, where he described This song we sing every day, Shri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Padma, he says, is the lotus which grows in a lake, sarovar, or in panka, in mud, pankaja. We, in our common parlance, we use the word lotus so many times. Lotus feet, lotus hands. So it describes what exactly is a lotus-like feature in a guru's life or in an acharya's life. So the lotus has two distinct features. It can grow in mud, which is not a very glorious substance, but it doesn't take any of the qualities of mud. And it can also have its own fragrance. So Srila Prabhupada, although could be seen as a Bengali gentleman, used to himself say that, I am only one Indian. If one Indian can do so much, imagine if others take up the process, how much they can do. But at the same time, we know that he is not merely an Indian. He is not merely a Bengali gentleman. He is a pure devotee, not just a pure devotee also. He is an eternal associate of Krishna. So that is a unique quality of having that lotus-like touch in everything. A few days ago, in our BBT translation Seva team, we came across a book. It was Great Speeches and Orators of India. So it could be about 1920 or 1930s. And this one person from South India was a prolific writer, scholar, lawyer, chief justice, a thorough gentleman, knowledgeable in the Vedas. And his speech begins with glorification, analysis of so many Western scientists and philosophers. And then he says, now I will come to the Indian context. What is the Indian philosophical essence? And I was just wondering, what could it be? So as I turned the page, predictably it was, yoga means the union of the Jiva and Brahman. And there's a senior devotee and I asked, why is it that throughout the last 300, 400, 500 years that we have everyone having the same understanding that true yoga means the Jiva and the Parabrahman become one? And as we were discussing, that pick up any of Prabhupada's books, even the most elementary ones, and right from the first page you'll understand how skillfully, sometimes harshly, as we sometimes feel when you read Prabhupada's purports, they seem to stomp on our ego. So many philosophers seem just so eager to just rush and become one with the Supreme. And in one discussion, Srila Prabhupada said, our philosophy is not to become one with God. We can teach you to become greater than God. And you may say, how is that? That's not our philosophy. Well, we keep our distinction and we relish the service attitude. Krishna is more eager to serve his devotees. The second contribution which I gleaned is from a seminar by His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj on the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I was fortunate to be a part of the team which produced it in Marathi language. And he said there are 64 angas of bhakti. There are first 20 which are like a door to the next 44. The first 20 have 10 positive and 10 negative. First do's and don'ts, and then the next of the 44. And the do's, they begin with shelter and initiation of a spiritual master. So Bhanu Maharaj was explaining why Rupa Goswami placed it first. If we don't do the first, we cannot do properly any of the rest of the 63. It's like easy when the Lord's palanquin goes on a tour, you also rise. Don't put your feet towards the deities. Most of them are elementary. And these are sort of practiced by so many so-called Hindus. But as Mahaprabhu pointed out, that it is just mere religiosity. And just like a medicine could be effective in normal times, but in an epidemic, even allopathic doctors admit that this body is not responding. Similarly, mere religiosity, which was propounded in the Vedas, counteracting Kali Yuga's influence, and the analysis was, it's not responding. So Srila Prabhupada as Acharya, he came and he gave something. And as Govind Prabhu was telling me once, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother said, your guru, he distributed nectar as if it was water. And that's why it seems to be so commonplace everywhere. Just like if we see in a perfume shop, small bottles of perfume and they seem very valuable. But if we have a reservoir of perfume, we may take it lightly. On this holy celebration of Srila Prabhupada's appearance, I pray that this service to Srila Prabhupada's disciples, glorify them, let that be the treasure of my heart. Srila Prabhupada ki.
To come forward and make his offering.
Just a few days back, Gaur Gopal was mentioning that there is a showroom in Bombay and they sell Rolls Royce cars. But it's not that anyone can go and buy. Even if you have the money, you can't go and buy it. They see your background, your qualification, where you stay. Otherwise, an insult for their car. So I was thinking, if everybody has to buy a car, then you have to buy a Tata's Nano car. But Nano is quite different from Rolls-Royce. But we see here, as Bhagavad Gita explains, and Rupa Goswami also explains, that bhakti, devotional service, janma koti sukritir na labhyate. That is, Krishna bhakti or Krishna consciousness is so rare, even after performing pious activities for millions of years, we will not achieve it. And Krishna also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Very rare. So one may buy Rolls Royce by coming to some prestigious quarter. That is possible. But bhakti is very rare. This is what makes me very strikingly amazed. That something which is very rare, like a diamond, not anybody can buy a diamond. When something looks like diamond, everybody can have it. But it is no more a diamond. It is an ordinary thing. But something more valuable than Rolls Royce, more valuable than diamond, which is very rare according to Krishna, according to Rupa Goswami also. But Prabhupada made it easily available, but not like a nano car. Not like an imitation diamond, but exactly the same. Like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, have you seen God? Now usually in India, many disciples talk about their guru having a rare, of course they don't see, they don't talk about seeing God, they say we are God. They may say, okay, I've seen God. As if it is only his private affair, nobody else can see. Somebody asked this question to Prabhupada, have you seen God? Usually the answer would be, you know, you would not speak. And Prabhupada said, what difference that will make in your life? It will not make any difference in your life. I give you the process through which you can see Krishna. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, this is your most amazing contribution. Something which is very rare and valuable, but you are providing it to everybody, as Shamanan Prabhu mentioned, that nectar is rarely available, but Prabhupada distributed as if it is water, and it has come to us also. Hare Krishna.
At this time, we would like to request His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj to make his offering to Srila Prabhupada.
Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishthang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschata Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's so wonderful to hear such profound realization of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. All the devotees who spoke are so enlivening to hear. And this is actually the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Nectar has become as easily available as if it is water. Srila Prabhupada came to distribute the most precious gift of the spiritual sky, and he distributed it all over the world without any consideration of qualification and eligibility. Yes, there is actually a consideration of qualification. Narottam Das Thakur has described that. He said that you have come, speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, potito pavana hetu tabo avatar. You have descended in order to deliver the fallen souls. And moshamo potito prabhu na paibe ar. You'll never get anyone as fallen as I am. Therefore, I am the most qualified to receive your mercy. So the qualification is to recognize our fallen condition. That is about only qualification and eligibility that is needed to receive Srila Prabhupada's mercy. It is not that Srila Prabhupada is demanding that, but on our part, we must recognize that. We must become honest and recognize our fallen condition and beg for Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Mercy is flowing. Now it's up to us to just receive it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is a very special phenomena in the spiritual context. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to revolutionize the spiritual practice. In other ages, pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the consideration was that if one wanted to practice spiritual life, he had to leave home, go to the forest or go to the mountain cave and practice, and of course find a qualified guru, bona fide guru, surrender to him and practice the process under his guidance. Like, that was the prerequisite. One had to leave home, go away from everything in order to practice spiritual life. And they used to do that. Even the kings and monarchs used to do that. The king would give up his kingdom in order to practice spiritual life. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started a very special spiritual movement, which was not prevalent prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it has been described that Anarpito Charin Chirat Korunayabutirna Kalo. Anarpito, what had not been given before, in order to distribute that, he has appeared very mercifully in the age of Kali. Korunaya avatirna kalo. And what is that gift? Samarpoitu munnato jalo rasang swabhakti shriyam. The wealth of his own devotion in the most exalted and most brilliant mellow of Madhurja, not only Madhurja, Parukhya Madhurja Ras, which was not available in other ages. It was kept very, very rare. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute that, which was never ever given before. And what is the qualification to receive this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? As I just mentioned, we simply have to recognize our fallen condition. In the age of Kali, the living entities are submerged in an ocean of sinful activities, and therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy has come down. Krishna himself came as a devotee to distribute this mercy. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this very rare spiritual good fortune to the fallen conditioned souls of the age of Kali. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made some condition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed it only throughout the holy land of India. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a wonderful prediction that it will spread. This gift that he has come to distribute will be distributed all over the world in every town and village. It is an amazing prediction. At a time, 500 years ago, people in this world didn't even know how many continents are there. America was not discovered. Australia was unheard of. At a time like that, Mahaprabhu makes the prediction that not only all over the world, but emphatically he is saying in every town and village. Now, it is an inconceivable prediction. one of, at one time, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that even the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not take this prediction. Many of his followers even could not take this prediction seriously. They thought it was probably a poetic exaggeration. But we find that in some cases, they were completely convinced. And those cases are actually Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. We see that these three personalities did not have any doubt about this, the fulfillment of this prediction. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, as early as in 1894, in his Bhagavats, like he wrote, that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. In 1894, when India was in the thick of British domination, when India was treated as, you know, insignificant, most unimportant, most uncultured country. That's how the British made the Indians to think about India. At a time like that, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is writing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which is actually the real glory of India, will spread all over the world in every town and village, and all the religions of this world will come under the banner of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. What an inconceivable prediction. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur had the complete faith that yes, it will happen. And what is the foundation, what is the basis of his conviction? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his words are not going to go in vain. It's a very simple conclusion. So we can see that those who have an unflinching faith that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never doubt about the fulfillment of this prediction. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He will make it happen. He made, by His divine arrangement, all kinds of wonderful things are happening all over the world, all over the creation. So nothing is impossible for Him. So, to go back to that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, distributed Krishna consciousness, inundated the whole entire India with Krishna prem. But then, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, gradually His teachings, His movement became covered over by the Upasampradayas. In the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, all kinds of unscrupulous people were presenting their unscrupulous activities. And predominantly those activities were based on breaking the four regulative principles. That is what was going on in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And as a result of that, those days, wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name was known, or wherever these things were going on in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no cultured and educated person would accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was actually a dark age. Soon after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about a couple of hundred years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, the Krishna consciousness, Mahaprabhu's teachings, actually disappeared from the surface of this earth. Only in some remote corner, some Bhajanandi Vaishnavas like Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj were holding on to this pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, it was lost by the activities of the owls and bowls and lara, lady, shokhi, bheki, etc. And another thing disappeared was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham. Mayapur disappeared soon after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance. But then we see that the revival of Mahaprabhu's movement, Mahaprabhu's mission, started by Bhaktivinod Thakur. He was the one who started to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and he retrieved Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham and reconfirmed it by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Otherwise, Mahaprabhu's dham was lost. Some unscrupulous people, they just concocted some, identified some place and started to broadcast that these are the these are the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he found out that those places are not in conformity with the descriptions of the scriptures, like Bhakti Ratnakar and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhakti Ratnakar clearly mentions that Gangar Puravatire Mayapur Gram Jathai Janmelen Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan. On the eastern bank of the Ganges is the village known as Mayapur, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But what was going on in the name of Mayapur was on the western bank of the Ganges. Another thing he considered is that, well, some people may say that the Ganga has shifted. Actually, Mayapur was on the other side of the Ganges. But his point was that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Chatkazi, there was no mention of crossing of the river Ganges. So, in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to doubt that maybe this place is not the right, what they are saying to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place of activities, they are not the right place. And then, as you all know, one night he had a vision. He was sitting on his roof and he saw the other side of the river Jalangi, Saraswati, lit up with a divine light. And he saw a city, a beautiful city, and devotees chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And he immediately considered that this must be the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. At that time, there were two persons with him, his young son, and most really that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and his secretary. So he asked his secretary whether he saw anything. He said, no, he didn't see anything. But little Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur confirmed that he also saw the same sight, that there was a beautiful light, and in that effulgence there was this beautiful city with beautiful buildings and palaces, and devotees were chanting and dancing in ecstasy. So next morning Bhaktivinoda Thakur went across the river and he found that there is a neem tree, and surrounding the neem tree there is a forest of tulasi. So he asked the people there that what was the name of that place, and he found out that was the village of the Muslims, and the name of the village is Miapur. And in Arabic language, Mia means mister. So Mayapur has become distorted into Miapur, and the place had become the residence of the Muslims. But the amazing factor was that generally tulsi doesn't grow in any inauspicious place. Where sinful activities go on, tulsi doesn't grow there. So here is a forest of tulsi and surrounding a neem tree. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered maybe this is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. But he wanted to confirm it. Now, who is the person who could be, who could identify the place? And so he got Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj at that time was about 125 years old. He was an old, he couldn't move himself. He used to be carried by his servant Bihari on a basket. His body became so frail that he couldn't walk, and he became so emaciated that he could just fit into one basket. And his servant used to carry him on his head wherever he had to go. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was brought to that site. And what did Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj do? He jumped out of his basket and he started to dance in ecstasy, jumping 5-6 feet high in the air, saying that this is the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And this is Nimai's birthplace. That's why Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's prayer goes like, Gauravir bhava bhumestam nirdishta sajjana priya Vaishnava sarvabhauma shri Jagannathaya te namaha. Gauravir bhava bhumestam nirdishta, who identified, who pointed out the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaura Abhirbhava Bhumestan Nirdeshta. So in this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually rediscovered the place of, actual place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes which were lost. And Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur revived the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got to know about Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he couldn't find a single copy. And after a great search, in Odisha, he found one handwritten manuscript, handwritten copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he printed that with his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya, the flow of nectar, the commentary, which is a flow of nectar. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered other scriptures like Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Ratnakar, and he started to print and he started to write many, many articles, poetry, philosophical treatises, glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, rather re-establishing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. What a brilliant personality, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. We can consider his brilliance, like he was writing not only in Sanskrit, not only in Bengali, but he was writing in English. Such beautiful writing. He was not only presenting the philosophy and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in regular writing, he presented them in poetry, in such beautiful poetry, in written in not only Bengali, but in Sanskrit. With equal expertise and dexterity, he actually wrote them. Not only in Sanskrit and Bengali, in English. And his poetry is so beautiful, its rhyme and its meter. Even not many English poets actually even wrote in such rhymes and in such beautiful meters. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling, deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Actually, Sanskrit and Bengali and other Indian languages, when it's a poetry, they maintain a very strict meter and very strict rhyme. English poetry, it's not like that. Even great poets don't follow any rhyme and meter. My heart aches and a drowsy numbness pains my senses as the hemlock I had drunk. No rhyme, no meter. Maybe some meter, but no rhyme as such. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Joy, employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes, see the meter, and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. And the entire poetry maintains the same rhyme, same meter, and maintaining the rhyme. So what a brilliant personality. And let's go back, not only in Sanskrit. Look at his writings not only in English, look at his writing in Sanskrit. Jadite hari pad saroj sudha rasapana parang hridayam satatam parihitta griham kalibhavamayam bhajagodrumakanana kunja pithum. Ramani jana sanga sukhancha sakhe charame bhayadang purushartha haram taja gramma katha sakalang bifalang bhajagodruma kanana kunja pithum. What a brilliant personality. And he came to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Prior to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are practically lost. Like we can see, after Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, then Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. By that time, and then after Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, comes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But prior to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they all are bhajananandis. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj didn't go out and preach. He was just staying first in Vrindavan and then he came to Navadvip, and he was a pure devotee. He retained Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sublime teachings. But only such personalities were carrying the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the revival. But still, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he churned out the real teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from all these poisonous concoctions around that time, but then he himself could not actually spread it. He couldn't preach that much because he was a very high-ranking government servant. He himself couldn't go out and that effectively established the preaching mission. But then came Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Another brilliant personality. The point that I am trying to make is that these personalities are not ordinary spiritual personalities. These are the personalities who came from the spiritual sky. Otherwise, just as it was mentioned by, I think, Shyamananda Prabhu, that that Srila Prabhupada is not just a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada is an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only an associate, a very special associate. I mean, we don't know who Prabhupada actually is. Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about what was his spiritual identity, what was his sarup, Prabhupada's answer to that was, if I tell you, you'll faint. So we don't know who Srila Prabhupada actually is. Someday maybe when we go back to the spiritual sky, we'll find out who Srila Prabhupada actually is. It doesn't matter. We know that Srila Prabhupada is someone very, very special. That is Srila Prabhupada's identity as far as we are concerned. Someone very special. Like prior to Srila Prabhupada, we can consider Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, another personality. The second in the line of fulfilling Mahaprabhu's prediction after Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He goes, he is a brilliant personality, the son of a very exalted personality. Those days, for an Indian to become the deputy magistrate during the British Raj was one of the highest positions that one could aspire for. We cannot even imagine how respectable that position was. And his son, but from his childhood, he is totally unconcerned about material prosperity, materialistic way of life. A brilliant person. At the age of 14, at the age of 16, he starts a society called the August Assembly. And what is the purpose? Lifelong commitment to lifelong brahmachari. He inspired his colleagues and his friends and associates to take up a vow of lifelong brahmachari through being a part of that part of that club or assembly. And the only one who stuck to his vow is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was the only one. Then he decides to take to commit himself to spiritual life. And what does he do? He takes a vow of chanting 1 billion names of the Lord. 1,000 million names, which literally means chanting 300,000 names a day. That means 192 rounds every day without fail for 10 years. For 10 years without fail, he chanted 300,000 names of the Lord, 192, almost 200 rounds a day. And Mayapur those days was not like the way it is today. Mayapur, there was nothing there. I went to Mayapur for the first time in 1976. And even those days, the place was full of cobras, full of snakes. In 1978, there was a big flood. And there were snakes everywhere. We used to go to the bathrooms, and in the bathroom there were some grills, and you see the snakes coiled in there. They are taking some shelter there. And I remember one boy called Pradumna, he was from Orissa. He alone killed 51 cobras. I would see sometimes, once, a very nice sight I saw. There was a mongoose. I saw one mongoose, and then I noticed that it was actually, there was a cobra. And the cobra has spread its hood, and the mongoose was just going around the thing, and then attacked, and the cobra ran. And both of them disappeared on the wheat field, paddy field, just next to our conch building. Those days there was no conch building, the lotus building. So from the balcony of lotus building, I mean, so many snakes. So you can well imagine, 100 years back, almost 100 years back, what was the situation like? And all he had is a small little hut, straw hut, that also used to leak during the monsoon time. And he used to sit under an umbrella chanting the holy name of the Lord. Nobody around, just maybe at a distance there were some Muslim villages. On the bank of the Ganges, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fulfilling his vow of chanting 1 billion names of the Lord. And then he goes out to preach Krishna consciousness. In 1918, he goes to Calcutta and starts his preaching mission. In 1922, Srila Prabhupada meets him. And right at the first meeting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recognized this very special personality. And what did he tell him? The first instruction, practically the first dialogue is that you spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world in English language. And Prabhupada also recognized his eternal spiritual master. Formally, Prabhupada took initiation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1933. But Srila Prabhupada actually accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a spiritual master at the very first meeting. So much so that he took up that mission so sincerely that he quit his job. He was a 26-year-old young man. Had a very nice job. He was a manager of one of the first pharmaceutical companies in India. The first one was Bengal Chemical, established by an eminent scientist called Dr. Prafulla Chandra Ghosh. And the second one was Dr. Bose's laboratory. And Srila Prabhupada is the manager of that pharmaceutical company. But, and he was married with a son. But Srila Prabhupada quit the job. Why? Srila Prabhupada himself mentioned that he felt that if he is working as an employee, then his time doesn't belong to him. His time belongs to the person who is paying him. Therefore, he won't have the time to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his spiritual master instructed him. Therefore, he decided to quit the job. And he felt that he started his own business. Prabhupada was not very successful in his business. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself told him that you are not successful in business because you don't love money enough. In order to be successful in business, you have to love money. You don't love money enough. Your heart is not in making money. Your heart is in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So that was Srila Prabhupada. And we can see, since then, Prabhupada's life apparently was a life of intense struggle. He was trying to spread Krishna consciousness. He tried in so many different ways. But it seemed that everything was falling apart. His business did not succeed. His family life became chaotic. But Srila Prabhupada didn't care about that. Srila Prabhupada was completely fixed up on how to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. Apparently, Srila Prabhupada didn't meet also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that often. He didn't spend so much time with him. Srila Prabhupada just met him three times for short whiles. But those three meetings were very, very meaningful. And then we can see, ultimately what we can see is that Srila Prabhupada was carrying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart. This point has been very clearly indicated by Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur for the first time with his American disciples, Prabhupada just drove straight to the small hut that was there in the piece of land that was bought at that time. And later on, Prabhupada heard that some of his godbrothers had criticized him that, he didn't stop at his Guru Maharaj's samadhi. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhi. When that was told to Srila Prabhupada that some individuals criticized him like that, Srila Prabhupada's response was, do they think that I am ever separated from my spiritual master even for a moment? My spiritual master is always with me and I am never separated from him even for a moment. That is how Srila Prabhupada actually carried
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur all the time in his heart. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers is a very nice devotee, Srila Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Once he was telling me that he had an encounter with one of his other godbrother, who was also very scholarly, who was also a very profound preacher, had a very good command over English language. And he told him, you are a wonderful preacher, and so is Swami Maharaj. You are a wonderful writer, so is Swami Maharaj. You are a wonderful preacher, so is Swami Maharaj. But how come Swami Maharaj is so successful and you are not? Anyway, they are godbrothers, they could speak like that. And he pointed out that because Srila Prabhupada had implicit faith in the holy name, he considered that that was the key of Srila Prabhupada's success. That implicit faith in the holy name and the instruction of his spiritual master spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So in this way we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction came through Srila Prabhupada ultimately. These are the three personalities are in a row. And these three personalities make actually the complete picture. It started with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gave the blueprint. That blueprint was established in reality through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission was established all over the world by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. How do we recognize that Srila Prabhupada is a very special personality, a very, very dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We see in the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He always likes to give credit to His devotees. He doesn't want to take the credit Himself. Although He does it, but He gives the credit to His devotee. What kind of devotee? One who is very dear to Him, He gives Him the credit. Like for example, the greatest battle ever that was fought is the battle of Kurukshetra. But in that battle, Krishna didn't want to touch any weapon. He took a vow that He won't touch any weapon. Why? Because He wanted to give the exclusive credit for winning that battle to Arjuna. If he fought, then everyone would have said, Krishna fought, therefore they won the battle. But Krishna's plan was to give the credit to Arjuna. And that's why. Similarly, Mahaprabhu came to distribute Krishna prema all over the world. But the ultimate achievement of the spreading of Krishna consciousness He reserves for somebody about which He made a prediction, but He Himself didn't do that. So from that we can understand that how dear Srila Prabhupada must have been to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we can see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the arrangements. Srila Prabhupada goes to America at the age of 70. Without any resources, without any money, without any support, without any patronage. Alone he goes to America. And apparently there was a struggle at the initial stage. But then Krishna consciousness movement started to spread in leaps and bounds all over the world. Literally there was a Hare Krishna explosion. And we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually made a perfect arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to come and start his preaching mission. Like America, if we consider America at that time, After the Second World War, America saw the height of material prosperity. They had, America was the most wealthy nation, most prosperous nation. America was filled with all the luxury and comforts that one can even think of. But the youth of America became disgruntled. They became disappointed. They saw that money cannot buy what one actually needs. The real need of a man cannot be purchased with money. Money cannot buy love. And so they rejected that society, and they were looking for a positive alternative, a counterculture. And they left home, they all went to the streets. And Srila Prabhupada went and picked them up. They left home and Prabhupada came and brought them to the temples. And though we have to see, we have to recognize that all these devotees, especially in the West, especially in America and Europe, those who came forward to assist Srila Prabhupada at that time, they were not ordinary individuals. They had been sent by Krishna to assist Srila Prabhupada. A devotee like Radhanath Maharaj is not just an ordinary personality. From the book, Maharaj's Journey Back Home, from that we actually see that he is not from this world. And so these individuals were sent by Krishna to assist Srila Prabhupada. And then what happened at that time is the most glorious history that the world will ever record. And Srila Prabhupada came and Srila Prabhupada knew that what he came to fulfill, the mission that he came to fulfill, is not, cannot be achieved in one lifetime. It will take generations after generations. He spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but to ultimate fulfillment of that mission in every town and village, that will take a long time. Therefore, in order to continue that mission, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON. He gave more importance to ISKCON than to himself. Those days, many gurus from India went and set up their spiritual institutions. All those institutions were named by themselves, after themselves. Mahesh Yogi, Bal Yogi, Chinmayananda, Satchidananda, all their things were named after them. The institutions were named after them. But when it came to ISKCON, even today, even in India, people do not know who is the actual founder of ISKCON. Like in Mayapur, ISKCON temple is known as Sahib Mart, the temple of the Sahibs, meaning Englishmen. In Vrindavan, it is Angrezo ka Mandir. They don't even recognize, they don't even know that the personality who established this institution is an Indian. Why? Because Prabhupada didn't want to glorify himself. Prabhupada didn't want any aggrandizement for himself. Prabhupada simply wanted the glorification of Krishna, and Prabhupada wanted to establish the institution because the institution is the answer to his fulfillment of his mission. And Prabhupada time and time again gave so many instructions on that. And in the ultimate sense, Prabhupada told us, no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. Personally, I consider three instructions of Srila Prabhupada to be most important, at least to me. One is, no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. The second is, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. Srila Prabhupada just didn't want us to display some sentimental love for him. Prabhupada wanted a solid proof of that love. And how to prove that love? If we love Srila Prabhupada, then we have to cooperate with each other. For what? For spreading Krishna consciousness. For holding the institution together. It's not easy. It's not easy. To cooperate means you have to give up your personal agenda. To cooperate means you have to give up your personal benefits. To cooperate means you have to tolerate. To cooperate means you can't put yourself in the front. You have to put yourself in the back. And assist others instead, serve others instead of trying to take the service from others. Taking service from others is not cooperation. To lead our followers is easy. That is not cooperation. Cooperation is among the equals. We have to become equals or subservient, even better, to be even preferable, to become subservient to others. Then only we can literally cooperate. And that is what Prabhupada wanted. If we love him, we have to show that love through our cooperation. That means for the sake of our love for the sake of our love for Srila Prabhupada, we have to sacrifice so much and tolerate so much. And the third instruction is the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. Personally, I consider that these three instructions are most important, and time again I have seen how these three instructions have saved me from losing my spiritual life. There had been times when I felt, okay, it's so difficult to continue with ISKCON. Let me just leave. Nowadays it's easy, but in the past, sometimes it was difficult to continue. But like time and time again, I just consider, no, Prabhupada wanted me to stay in ISKCON and never leave ISKCON. So no matter how difficult it is, I should continue. Many a times I have seen GBCs made blunders, GBCs made decisions which were not very spiritually laudable. But I consider whatever the GBC decided, my business is to follow that. Because that's what Prabhupada wanted. And in this way, my spiritual life has been saved. And personally, I feel that Srila Prabhupada is still here. Srila Prabhupada is with us, very much with us. Not only Srila Prabhupada is just watching us from the spiritual sky, but Srila Prabhupada is here in his ISKCON. ISKCON is the continuity of, ISKCON is the presence of Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON is non-different from Srila Prabhupada. And it is through ISKCON that this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village will be fulfilled. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.
His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
At this time we would like to request His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj
to kindly present his offering to Srila Prabhupada.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Precharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatharine I thank you, Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, for this eloquent, brilliant presentation of the genuine love of your heart for our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Your words were overflowing with realizations born out of deep affection and total surrender. I was thinking that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur were personally from within your heart speaking through you to glorify our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's pastime of entering into the sannyasa order of life. In 1959, Vishwarup Mahotsav in the Keshav Gaudiya Math in Mathura, Srila Prabhupada took these vows. And oftentimes he would tell the story. How over many years, while he was in the Grihastha Ashram and later the Vanaprastha Ashram, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, was appearing to him in dreams. And in those dreams, his Gurudev would be appealing to him to leave everything else behind and become a sannyasi. And Srila Prabhupada said, I was thinking, this is horrible. To leave my children, my family, everything else, become a mendicant. He had so many responsibilities. Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj explained the history of the relationship between Prabhupada and his Gurudev. 1922 on that rooftop, Ultudonga Junction Road, the very first Gaudiya Math preaching center of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He received that order. You are an intelligent young man. You should take the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world in the English language. In response, Prabhupada, in a very respectful but very serious way, challenged Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Who will listen to us? Because Prabhupada was in the attire or the clothing of one who follows Gandhi for independence of Britain. He said, until we get Swaraj, independence, who's going to listen to us? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, politics are always changing. Who's in charge of a country is always changing. But Krishna consciousness that we are the eternal soul and our eternal love for Krishna is the eternal truth. We have no time to wait for political adjustments. This is always the first and foremost duty of all living beings. Now, Prabhupada was a serious follower of Gandhi. He was going to Scottish Churches College, which was one of the most prestigious colleges in all of India. And just for Gandhi's sake, he gave up getting his degree. He had no evidence that he even went there, even taking the courses. He gave up so much. But yet, when he heard this sadhu speaking the truth on that rooftop, Srila Prabhupada told us, I accepted him in my heart as my Guru Maharaj. He surrendered his life. And how he did it is very instructive for all devotees. Because there was no external formalities. As His Holiness has already explained, Srila Prabhupada didn't even take Harinam initiation till over 10 years later. But in his heart, he had surrendered his body, mind, words, life, and soul to his Gurudev. And he was pondering on this instruction. Externally, he carried on with his duties to take care of his family. But in his heart, he was a surrendered disciple. He wasn't getting any honor or prestige, but he had that burning passion to serve. And he was just waiting for the time. He took first and second initiation at the same time in Allahabad, the Rupa Goswami Prayag Gaudiya Math. Before that, he went to Koshi and listened to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for many hours speaking. And everybody else was going out to different holy places, but he just sat at Gurudev's feet and listened. And when it came time for his initiation, nobody really knew him that well. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he said, yes, I will accept him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. He met his Gurudev, Guru Maharaj at Radhakund. Or his Guru Maharaj said, if you get money, print and distribute books. He started a temple here in Bombay, along with two of his godbrothers. He was still a grihastha. His Gurudev came here for the installation. His godbrother said, Guru Maharaj, Abhay Babu should be the president of this temple. And Bhakti said, Saraswati Thakur, he responded, let him be as he is. He will do everything in time. He understood what was in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. We don't know of so many more meetings. Perhaps Prabhupada talked about a few other meetings, but there wasn't that many. In Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada was very highly respected because of his devotion, his scholarship, his beautiful mridanga playing and kirtan. But he was never considered a leader. Srila Prabhupada, he took the order of his Gurudev so deeply into his heart. And then years later, of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his last instruction to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, so many of your sannyasi and brahmachari disciples are doing so much service with you. They're always with you. I'm a grihastha with wife and all these children. How can I serve you? And very, not much time before Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world for Goloka, he wrote back the same instruction he gave him the first day they met. You are an intelligent young man. Spread this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world in the English language. This was his last instruction to Prabhupada. Now what happened between that? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent the most scholarly, empowered, and best of his sannyasis to the West to spread Krishna consciousness. And some of his very powerful brahmacharis also. And they went, and they really tried, and they couldn't do much. It was very difficult. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the major amount of money of the whole Gaudiya Math was going to them. The majority of all money collected was being sent to England to help them to establish something. But still, they tried with their hearts and souls, but it just wasn't possible to do much. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very saddened. And for years he was sending people. So here are the biggest, best sannyasis, scholars, preachers were sent, and they couldn't establish much. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after all that, writes a letter to Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world in the English language. He knew that Prabhupada had the capacity and the potency, because Prabhupada had such deep faith and such deep surrender in his Guru and in the holy name. And perhaps no one else, even the closest associates, could recognize that. And then some years later, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is appearing repeatedly in dreams to Prabhupada. Take sannyas. He hadn't got all his children married yet. Prabhupada was very traditional, very responsible. We read from all those years of his grihastha life, he was extremely responsible to his family. And extremely committed to his guru's mission at the same time. Take sannyas at that time? Prabhupada said, horrible. But it kept coming. And in one beautiful lecture, it was taped. Prabhupada was crying. You could hear his voice choked up and weeping as he's speaking. He said, practically, my Guru Maharaj pulled me out of my household life. He pulled me into sannyas. And Prabhupada, when he would say pull, he was crying, appreciating the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. And when he was living at Radha Damodar, doing his writing of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1959, he's doing Back to Godhead. His godbrother said, Bhakti Vedanta Babu, you must take sannyas to fulfill the order of our Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, I heard my Guru Maharaj speaking through him. And he forced me to take sannyas. Fiftieth anniversary. And why did he do it? Only to be an instrument of the compassion of our parampara. And interestingly, on this day, the temple room was filled with Hindi and Bengali speaking people. He was asked to speak by Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj. And Prabhupada spoke in English. And only maybe three or four people in the room could understand English. Nobody else did. And nobody was translating for him. Why did he? Prabhupada speaks fluent Hindi, fluent Bengali. He spoke English because it was symbolic. It was personification. He was taking sannyas only for this purpose, to carry out the order as Gurudev. And in August of 1965, he went to his Gurudev's samadhi and spent the day there praying and crying. Went to Advaita Bhavan, praying for mercy. And then he boarded on Friday the 13th of August 1965. He boarded the Jaladuta. And the amazing thing is none of his godbrothers or any important people came to see him off, because nobody really believed he could do it. Just his son, his youngest son. None of his other family members even bothered to come. His youngest son, Vrindavan Chandra, and a few people who just worked for the shipping company. That's all. One was a Muslim. Five people, you know, went like this. They helped him, 70 years old, 40 rupees. How Srila Prabhupada had such deep substance of love, compassion, and faith in his Gurudev. came off the Jaladuta in New York after having heart attacks and seasickness. Didn't know if when he first came off, there was nobody there to greet him. He just started walking. But where is he going to go? What is he going to do? 70-year-old Bengali man. And where the boats are, it's a very rough place. And Prabhupada said he looked right and he looked left. And he was thinking, he had complete faith, he said. Because he had the holy name, he had the order of his guru, and he had his boxes of books. So he had great faith that through the Bhagavatam, the mercy of guru, and the holy name, he would be successful. And we know how in the beginning stages so many apparent failures, so many obstacles, both in his health, he was getting heart problems, strokes. People were threatening to kill him. People robbed him. Nobody cared to help him for quite a while. It was cold. But Prabhupada had that faith. He kept his determination. His compassion was relentless. And he established our movement. And what happened next was historically remarkable. How he inspired and empowered people. We talked about how very empowered sannyasis who were Vaishnavas from birth, who knew Sanskrit, Bengali, meticulous English, who were trained in the highest principles of preaching, etiquette, everything. They were going to these Western countries, and no matter how hard they tried, it was just not very successful. Well, Prabhupada was taking people, that famous story Prabhupada said, sometimes a person picks up a stick, and then picks up a gourd, a pumpkin, and then picks up a wire, and puts them all together and makes an instrument. He said, that's kind of how I started this movement. I just, you know, picked up you and you and you and just put you all together and told you to preach and chant the holy names. Prabhupada, what did he have to work with? They were not people from Brahmin families. He just took people who were meat eaters, who were having illicit sex, who were taking so many intoxications, who were gambling their lives away, who were confused. And Prabhupada transformed them into Vaishnavas. And within a couple years, by his example, by his compassion, and by his purity, he gave them the power to go out to other countries in other parts of America where Krishna consciousness was absolutely unknown and start centers, and all of them were flourishing. How is that possible? Shivananda went to Germany, very rough place in those days. He started a center. Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki, just a man and a wife, sent them to San Francisco. They started a center. Another went to a new country, Montreal, Canada, started a temple.
Malati, Shamsundar, Mukunda Maharaj, Janaki, Jamuna, Gurudas Prabhu, sent them to London, another center. And they were all really successful centers. Sent someone else to Paris, and they started a temple. And these are some of the hardest places to preach in the planet. And the amazing thing, these devotees were not so advanced. They were not scholarly. They, at the beginning, they didn't even have books to read. They only had the first three volumes of the first canto. They had only the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a little purple abridged edition of Bhagavad Gita. And they were only listening to Prabhupada's lectures not very long. They were only devotees for a year or two. Would know some samskaras of the past. And yet they were able to successfully establish Krishna consciousness in a very profound and big way in all of these foreign lands. And the amazing thing, all of these devotees who went all to these places, none of them ever had any money when they went. They all went with nothing. Gaudiya Math, the biggest sannyasis, were getting lots of money to start centers. Here are just some new devotees, some foreign hippies who just became devotees, who just were just struggling to follow the principles and chant their rounds, and they don't have any money. All they have is the inspiration, the example of Prabhupada, and they're starting centers, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people coming everywhere, transforming their lives, becoming devotees. How is that possible? And some of those people didn't even last in their own Krishna consciousness. Of course, their service was an eternal glory. Some of them fell away. But Prabhupada Anjaladutta prayed to be a puppet. And because he won so much affection, so much faith, and so much love from these people, they were willing to be his puppets. And even without qualifications at all, they were able to do what the greatest sannyasis could not, what the greatest scholars could not. Prabhupada was asked, what is our qualification to do all these things and to have all these things? Prabhupada said, very humbly, he said, you have no qualifications. I have made your qualifications. And he was giving the qualification. His desire to preach Krishna consciousness was manifesting in a big way in all of these cities. He sent people to Africa. He sent people to the Middle East, to Iran, to Muslim countries, to Turkey. He sent people to South America. He sent people to Australia. Eventually, he sent someone to China. He personally went to Russia and sent a girl. He sent a girl there. Go there. Marry a person in Russia so you could stay there and preach. And these were just, you know, people, the only qualification they had, factually, was Prabhupada's love for his spiritual master was empowering them to fulfill Prabhupada's mission. It's really a miracle how it happened. And Prabhupada was traveling all over the world, and during Prabhupada's lifetime, all of his temples were flourishing. They were overflowing with devotees and millions of books being printed and going out. And how was it done? Because these devotees that Prabhupada inspired were willing to risk their lives without expecting anything in return to go to some of the most dangerous and difficult places on the planet. To teach Lord Chaitanya's message. Srila Prabhupada's love for humanity and his love for Krishna had that power. And those devotees of Prabhupada who really took his instructions as their lives and souls and stuck to those teachings, like Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, such a seasoned, mature, representing Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was especially so proud and so grateful for every single effort that any devotee did to help him. And when a person who is so pure and so surrendered and so divine as Srila Prabhupada, who is so ultimately dear to Krishna, is grateful to someone, you know that Krishna's mercy is so specially showering on that person. Anyway, anyone in any form assisted Prabhupada. He is so deeply grateful. And that is one of the reasons why we hold such profound value in the society that Prabhupada established, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is Prabhupada's personal contribution to our parampara. The institution that is, as Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj has said, the institution that is created by him to fulfill the prophecy of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, the vision of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to spread this mercy of the rarest, highest nectar of love of God, like water, all over the world. Not considering who is fit or who is unfit. And understanding it from this perspective, that anyone who is willing to help in this movement that Prabhupada created is going to be so specially and dearly blessed by Lord Krishna. Why? Because Prabhupada is so grateful to anyone who helps. Srila Prabhupada signed that prayer on the Jaladutta, "Your insignificant beggar," A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He was feeling that way. That was how he was presenting himself to Krishna. He came with nothing. And anyone at that time and anyone today who helps him. Beggars are really grateful. Beggars are grateful for anything. Prabhupada was begging us to assist him in his mission. On Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, on several occasions, Prabhupada was crying and begging us. He knew he didn't have long. He was begging us to carry this on. He started at 70. Even a couple years later, in his lectures, he would say, I don't know how much longer I have to live. Prabhupada had so much faith. I think it was in about 69 when he got really sick and he went to India. He just had a temple in San Francisco and in New York, and they're very new devotees. Everyone was just 1 or 2 or 3 years at the most. And he was very, very sick, and he was going to Vrindavan. And he said, when I go to Vrindavan, Krishna will decide whether I leave this world, because that's the best place to leave, or that's the best place for me to regain my health. So when he was leaving these new devotees, they really didn't know if they would ever see their Guru Maharaj again. But yet Prabhupada had great faith that they were going to spread this movement all over the world and carry on. And there were only a few people. Yes, Prabhupada would literally beg us, please carry on the mission of my Gurudev, my Guru Maharaj, because I may leave any time. And in 1977, when he did leave us, it was absolutely devastating. But still, his disciples, because he begged us and he empowered us, they kept going. And being very young, taking on such serious responsibilities, many mistakes were made. And those mistakes had quite serious repercussions. But still, by Prabhupada's love and faith, and by his empowered dedication to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order, the mission remained intact and came through those obstacles. And we see all over the world. Some places it's really growing. Some places the potential is fantastic. Just waiting. But for all of you, first generation, second generation, third generation, and all other generations, anyone who simply remains faithful to this mission, whatever difficulties may be, and endeavors to assist Prabhupada in this mission, Srila Prabhupada's heart is flooding over with such gratitude. And we have faith that there's no greater way to receive Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Radha Gopinath's mercy than pleasing Prabhupada. And Bhakti, then Prabhupada just wanted us to chant the holy names, to show our love by how we cooperate together, by follow these regular principles, and do what we can to give the example to the world of true Vaishnavas. And by doing so, when we represent Prabhupada sincerely, his potency can manifest through even the least of us to manifest the miracle of Prabhupada's love. So on this day, from my heart of hearts, I thank Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj for being with us and giving that brilliant
presentation. I thank all of you. You are all Prabhupada's beloved, beloved, beloved children. And please be grateful and show our gratitude by our willingness to follow and willingness to serve. Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada avirbhav maha mahotsav ki jai. Hare Krishna. So now we will have Pushpanjali for Srila Prabhupada. We would request all the devotees to kindly rise and stand in their seats. We will be passing on flowers and we will have Pushpanjali.